Deb, can I tell you about my favorite bumper sticker?
Sure, Kyle.
So I saw this years ago in Ann Arbor, where I used to live. I walked by this car, and the sticker said, "Where are we going, and why am I in this handbasket?"
I totally don't get it.
Okay, I didn't get it either. It took me a minute, but it's basically a riff on "We're going to hell in a handbasket."
Oh, I got it. Okay, hell in a handbasket. Why am I in this handbasket? Okay, now I get it. That's pretty good. But, all right, Kyle, why are we talking about bumper stickers?
Well, bumper stickers are fun, but also because a listener asked us about them.
I really want to know, in a nutshell, what are the patterns of bumper stickers and bumper sticker messages in the Seattle area? What are they saying?
The patterns and messages of bumper stickers in the Northwest. Is that the question?
Yeah, that's it. But there's something even deeper at work here that we're going to dive into. And that's how bumper stickers help create a sense of community and belonging, even when they're bumper stickers you don't agree with.
Okay, well, that is not something I've ever thought about, so let's do it. This is Sound Cues, a podcast fueled by listener curiosity. I'm Deborah Wong with producer Kyle Norris. And Kyle, who is this listener asking about bumper stickers?
That's Susie Johnston. She was born and raised in Seattle, and she grew up during the early days of the city's punk scene.
I was teeny, tiny. For a while, I had purple hair. I wore sort of glam slash punk stuff, so I'd wear mixed up like Chinese satin outfits with ripped leather pants and all kinds of makeup. But I looked kind of brainy too. I was a little brainy punk.
Susie hung out with a bunch of creative people in Capitol Hill and on the Ave. Eventually, she went to university in Scotland. She became an art historian, and she's traveled and lived all over the world. For the last 20 years, she's lived in Indonesia, and now she's back home. And she's having a hard time figuring out this present-day Seattle, because she says it's changed.
And I know my way around geographically, but I don't really know the city, like, culturally and psychologically anymore. And I see bumper stickers, and I think, well, that can give me, you know, sort of a cue, shall we say, about, you know, what's going on here now.
Okay, I get that idea of being back in a place that you don't know anymore, especially because culture moves so quickly. But why does she think that bumper stickers can give her a clue?
Well, when she lived here in the 90s, she felt like bumper stickers were simpler. That means that she understood what they were about. Like, they were for places people visited, like Hawaii, or they were for a candidate for president. And now, a lot of the time, when she sees bumper stickers, she just doesn't get them. For example, she'll see a sticker for like a logo or a company or a brand that she's never heard of. Or she'll see a bumper sticker with a message or expression she just doesn't understand. And Susie thinks there's a connection between her bumper sticker confusion and this rapidly changing city.
How so?
Susie says today Seattle is more crowded and diverse than it was 30 years ago. So she wants to crack the code of this new Seattle, the bumper sticker code. And in a way, she's putting on her art historian hat and analyzing the visual art around her. In this case, the art is bumper stickers. Susie's idea is that if she can better understand today's bumper stickers, then she'll better understand today's Seattle.
I'm just trying to figure out what the vibe is now, you know, and what people are thinking and how they communicate, you know, what's the buzz.
So it sounds like Susie's not just interested in what's on bumper stickers in the city. She's really wanting us to help her orient her to this changing city that feels really unfamiliar to her, which seems like a really big ask.
It is, but no worries, because Susie's going to do some of the reporting while I go find a bumper sticker expert.
Okay, a bumper sticker expert? Do those exist? And did you find one?
Of course someone out there is a bumper sticker expert. We're going to talk with them coming up, and they've got a pretty good story about how they became an expert.
Great. I can't wait to hear that, and we'll get to it right after the break.
On the Radioactive Youth Media Podcast, teens tell stories we're not hearing anywhere else.
We're both queer and both brown and both Muslim.
Subscribe for stories that reflect our world.
On March 14th, we walked out of our classes Today we march through the streets of Seattle, and in November we'll vote, and in a few years you'll see us running for office.
Download the Radioactive Podcast at kow.org/podcast.
So Kyle, you said before the break that you found a guy who was an expert on bumper stickers and he actually wrote a book about them. I can't wait to hear about this guy.
Yeah, you should also know he's a high school philosophy teacher.
Oh.
His name is Jack Bowen, and the book is called, quote, If You Can Read This, The Philosophy of Bumper Stickers. He wasn't especially into bumper stickers before writing this book, but then he brought a bumper sticker into his classroom and something kind of amazing happened.
Oh, what was that?
I'm going to tell you what happened, but first, I want to show you this bumper sticker. Check this out. And would you read that for us?
Yeah, it says, why do we kill people to show people that killing people is wrong?
Now, that is about the death penalty, which Jack doesn't have a super strong stance on himself. But his job is to get high schoolers to engage in philosophical debate. And so, as an experiment, he decided to use that bumper sticker as a prompt.
And my students just exploded in conversation. About half of them saying, yes, that's absolutely correct. Half of them saying, that's wrong. And about 10 minutes later, I had to sort of stop them and say, wait, okay, you guys are siding with Immanuel Kant and retributivism. And they're like, what about us? I'm like, well, you're acting like utilitarians. Tell us more about retributivism. And as a philosophy teacher, I'm thinking like, oh my gosh, like that's never been yelled out by adolescents. I can't believe how effective this is.
Honestly, I don't know half of the stuff he just said there. But what I love is that one bumper sticker just lit up his classroom, which got him fired up, which led to him doing a ton of research and studying over 800 bumper stickers and eventually writing an entire book about bumper stickers.
I love that. I mean, I guess it makes sense because bumper stickers are meant to be provocative, to elicit a response from people.
Yes. Jack says that's one of the reasons that human beings put bumper stickers on our cars in the first place.
Bumper stickers are a great way to do one of two things. One, to show, here's my identity, here's something I identify with. And the other is you get a chance to sort of yell out your position on something without having anyone challenge you.
Jack also reminded me that human beings are emotional creatures.
So bumper stickers are wrought with emotion. They're not just saying things in a black and white manner, but they're sort of screaming them out in a thoughtful way, but from an emotional place that is distinctly human.
And then what does someone get from that?
I think someone who's gone to the trouble of buying the sticker and cleaning their car and slapping that sticker on there is that they're getting a sense that their message is getting out there, whether it's something they're supporting or an idea they believe. And it's almost like advertising for ideas.
Advertising for ideas. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool, too. But I don't know if that actually helps Susie with her big quest to crack the Seattle bumper sticker code. She actually went out and investigated for this story. She took pictures all over town of bumper stickers in library parking lots, different neighborhoods, on the ferry. And in keeping with Jack Bowen's suggestion that bumper stickers are these advertisement for ideas, Susie found that locally, people sport bumper stickers that advertise places, or maybe ideas of places.
Almost every car in Vashon has a VSH, white oval sticker, which means Vashon. And if you walk around places like Fremont and Ballard, I notice stickers like there's ones that say Save Ballard or Free Ballard.
Susie saw the Cascadia sticker. She saw a bunch of Sasquatch stickers. She saw stickers about mountains and how people love the mountains. Someone even covered the entire inside of their pickup truck with stickers for local companies that make cider. And another car had bumper stickers for a coffee roaster, a chocolate company, and a couple of gun manufacturers.
Okay, that sounds like it hits a lot of the culture of the Pacific Northwest. I mean, from Sasquatch to coffee roasters. What did our bumper sticker expert have to say about what Susie found?
Well, remember, Jack Bowen is a California guy, and his specialty is not bumper stickers of the Pacific Northwest. But I did tell him about what Susie had found, and he said a few things stood out. Jack says, in the areas of San Francisco and Santa Cruz, that's where he's from, many of the stickers are very political.
They are screaming out typically liberal political ideologies and ethical issues. And there are very few cute, thoughtful, you know, here's the thing that I like, here's the thing I connect with. And typically cars, vans have 20 to 30 of them, where it's almost hard to make sense of, you know, I almost prefer like pick one and say that.
Jack thinks that bumper stickers in the Pacific Northwest sound more laid back.
Where people aren't like screaming at each other. They're saying, hey, this is what I like. This is the thing I support and I connect with. So it seems less, I hate to use the word abrasive, because I sort of like the, you know, what's going on in Berkeley and Santa Cruz, but it seems a little bit less abrasive to me and more sort of like, this is the thing that I connect with and here it is, and I want to share that with you.
I want to go back to Susie because this is really her question and it's her story. It's about trying to understand the city you grew up in, a city that's mostly unrecognizable to you now. So let's finish with Susie. Susie learned three big things. Number one, Susie realized that people here use bumper stickers in a similar way to how songbirds sing songs.
I do a little bird watching, very northwesty thing to do, of course. And for example, we have different subspecies of juncos here. And the Oregon junco or black-capped junco is one subspecies, and then we have pink-sided juncos. And their little cheep sounds, beep, beep, the little sounds they make are slightly different. And they look slightly different. Sometimes they flock together. But you can sit and listen in a forest like I was just doing the other day, and you can tell which species is which. And that's how these birds are listening and locating their own species, because they hear that chirp and they understand that chirp.
She says bumper stickers communicate messages in a similar way, and that if she doesn't understand a particular sticker, that's okay, because it wasn't meant for her. Number two of Susie's observations, there's something that she calls Pacific Northwest social cred, and that's this idea of proving you belong here and that you're a part of what makes this place special. And I think that applies to anyone who lives here, but I think it holds more weight for newcomers. And Susie thinks it's a way of saying, I'm here, I matter, and this place has meaning to me.
And that says to me that there's this pride of place and pride of primacy in a city made of newcomers, mostly newcomers, and that there's like cred, social cred, for being more Northwest than other people.
She says that's why you see all those Sasquatch stickers and stickers for parks and mountains and skiing. And here's the third thing Susie learned. She's not the only one who feels like she doesn't understand Seattle. And looking at all those bumper stickers actually helps Susie feel empathy for those other newcomers, people who are less familiar with Seattle than she is.
And think about the places where I've lived in my life as a newcomer, including Scotland, London, and Indonesia, you know, and how it was natural for me to want to express, you know, some sentimental or cultural alliance with the place and some sort of validity for being there, some legitimate, some actual attachment and connection in order to sort of validate my presence so that I could be accepted. And I think that's a lot of what's going on out there probably.
I totally get that as someone who's lived in a lot of different places. I mean, that need to express alliance, as she said, with a place. I think that's really real. The thing that I wonder about and that maybe concerns me a bit is that there's this sameness that I notice in bumper stickers, particularly around Seattle. It seems like people kind of like the same things. They support the same kind of candidates. You very rarely see a Republican bumper sticker, for example. And so, yeah, it's that sameness that I worry about. Is that just what I'm noticing?
You know, I think at first blush, that seems right. But we all notice different things for different reasons. For example, I had never seen that Sasquatch sticker, but then Susie told me about it, and I literally see it everywhere now.
Oh, gosh.
But also, Susie did see a range of bumper stickers, including a range of political messages. So maybe it's like diversity is hiding in plain sight.
Okay, I'm going to have to do what Susie did and actually study some of the stickers that I see now, because I'm sure there's stuff out there that I've just never noticed before. And I'm sure that I will now be seeing Sasquatch everywhere I go.
You will.
Thanks for that deep dive into bumper stickers, Kyle.
My pleasure.
Okay, should I do the credits?
Yes, please.
If you have a question about Seattle or our region, head on over to our website, kuow.org/soundcues, and drop us a note. Or call us at 206-616-3805 and leave us a voicemail. Your question might be featured in a future episode. Sound Cues is a production of KUOW in Seattle. Kyle Norris is our producer. Jeannie Yandel is our editor. Our production team includes Anna Boyko-Wyrock, Catherine Banwell, Gil Agutter, Caroline Chamberlain-Gomez, Jill Jackson, and Brendan Sweeney. Michael Parker composed our theme music. I'm Deborah Wong. Thanks for listening.